that point. Ever. I was like a kid in a candy shop on my 7th flight, STS-110, in April 2002, just like I had been on my first. I loved the training, and I loved to fly. I looked forward to the training opportunities, even though I had done most of them many times over. From the first flight to the last, I enjoyed every minute of training, because training meant I was getting ready to fly. Between my flights, I worked on developing shuttle EVA tools and procedures, evaluating International Space Station, ISS, EVA hardware and tasks, and developing ISS assembly procedures. The EVA work was almost as challenging as training for a flight. While serving as the Astronaut Office EVA and Robotics Branch Chief, I worked 60 or more hours a week. I brought my computer and paperwork home and worked until it was time to go to bed and got right back up to do it all again the next day. I spent many Saturdays at work, but that is what it took to get the job done. I was glad to be the one doing it. I have been asked how I would like my career to be remembered. That is an easy question for me to answer. I would like to be remembered as a person who had a dream as a young kid and was allowed to pursue and achieve it. I had more fun than it is probably legal to have. I loved every aspect of what I got to do. I loved the people I got to do it with. I loved the challenges of the flights. I loved seeing the Earth from space. The beauty of the Earth from space is not describable. If I had one wish, it would be that everyone could have the chance to see Earth from on orbit. If they did, I believe people would view themselves, the Earth, and those around them in a totally different way. They would be much kinder to one another, and they would try to protect this incredible planet that we all live on. My 7th trip to orbit gave me sole possession of the world record for most space flights for less than 2 months. Then my friend, colleague, and 1980 NASA Group 9 astronaut classmate Franklin R. Chang Diaz tied the mark as a mission specialist on STS-111. Our very first flights, STS-61B and STS-61C, had also been separated by only a few weeks, way back in late 1985 and early 1986. For the rest of our careers, I would fly and Franklin would fly soon thereafter. I would fly, he would fly. I would fly, he would fly. Only once, when NASA had some long delays in getting my STS-88 flight off the ground, did Franklin's 6th flight launch before mine. We kept tabs on each other and would occasionally tease the other about getting way too old to fly anymore. But Franklin and I were both eager to fly an 8th mission and then some. With STS-88, the first ISS construction flight, I broke the U.S. records for most spacewalks and for the most time spent outside on spacewalks. I increased both records on my final flight, but with a mountain of EVAs required to build the ISS, it was only a matter of time before my EVA records would be surpassed. Michael E. Lopez Alegria broke both records during his long-duration stay on the ISS. It is my hope that all spaceflight records will continue to be broken. New records will mean that human beings are pushing further into space. That is what we ought to be doing. But I do not see it happening anytime soon, the way things currently are. That is my story. But what about the space shuttle? The shuttle was a great flying machine, and we will probably never again have the capabilities the shuttle gave us. It was by far the most advanced vehicle ever flown into space. The shuttle was man's first attempt to make flying into space more routine and cheaper. Neither goal was achieved, but the shuttle experience headed us in the right direction. However, the shuttle did greatly increase the number of countries directly involved in the exploration of space, sending their citizens and experiments into orbit. From a human perspective, perhaps that is one of the more important things the shuttle accomplished. I firmly believe that it was time to end the space shuttle program. Statistics say that if we continue to fly